Just reading for this evening will be out of John 10, verses 1 through 5. Most assuredly I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers.
Well, good evening, everyone. Always thankful for the opportunities that I have. You know, there's been certain things in my life that I have avoided. And I think there's probably all things in our lives where there's something that we didn't want to do and we took every path we could to avoid it. And then we stand there a few weeks later, a few months later, something that we knew we should have done that we just kept delaying on. Then we realize, you know what, if I was just more straightforward about it, that would have been the best way, best course of action to take. I think a lot of times that's the way people handle religion. A lot of times they know what they should be doing. They know the right thing. But somehow, some way, they sneak all around the issue, and sometimes they try to sneak all around the issue, even though they know what they really should be doing. In John chapter 10, when I read that, that's kind of the way I picture it, even though that's not the exact picture that we see in the passage, but someone sneaking around and kind of avoiding the straightforward way. You know, the straightforward way would just be go up to the doorkeeper and say, hey, can I come on in? But no, that's not the straightforward way that we want to go. We want to go around and we want to try to sneak in some other way. Let's read that passage one more time. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out, his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. You know, we see this picture, you know, of these people that are trying to find some other way. And they're described as a thief and a robber. They're trying to sneak in some other way. And when I look at this and I reflect on this, I think our society and individuals, human beings, a lot of times we're trying to find some other way. Aren't we? Even though the way is simple and easy, go to the door, that is the appropriate opening. Instead, we will try to find some other way. Any other way but the way that is appropriate, the way that is assigned. You know, I think about politics. I find it interesting how many times we find politicians that are trying to find some other way instead of the straightforward way. A lot of times there are easy and simple solutions to problems, but a lot of times those things are not politically correct, such as God, such as maybe getting God back into the schools, perhaps trying to fix the family. A lot of times politicians will avoid that like the plague. It's not politically correct to say those types of things. So what do they try to do? They try to find some other way. Perhaps you might call it a loophole. They're trying to find some type of loophole, some other way that they can get around doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, I think about my students, you know, teaching in public school, but I think just teaching in English, sometimes your students will try to find a way around the things that you're saying. And sometimes your students will try to trap you and say, hey, Mr. Lancaster, you said this the other day, and now you're saying this today. They try to trap you and try to find a loophole in what you said, a loophole in what you said or spoken or written to them, and they try to take advantage. You know, you think of big-time athletes, these big contracts they sign, they sign and they say, I'll be committed for 5 years to this team or this team, but then all of a sudden the situations change, and what do they try to find? A loophole or a way out of their contract that they have signed into. You know, people really haven't changed across the course of time, is many people at all times are trying to find some other way, particularly when it comes to religion. And I think we have really no better group to point to than the Pharisees and Sadducees. So many times when the Pharisees and Sadducees were in discussions with Jesus, they were always trying to find a loophole. They were trying to find a hole, a gap in the teachings of Christ. They were trying to find a hole or gap that they could take advantage of. They were trying to find some other way to get around what Jesus was teaching, or they were trying to find a loophole in what Jesus was saying so that they could really do what they wanted to all the time. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, we have Jesus, and we have this big, long sermon that he puts together. And I think he really attacks this type of mindset. The type of mindset that looks for a loophole. The type of mindset that tries to avoid the major issue. I think we see that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See, there's a lot of individuals, when it comes to their sinful behavior, they get this attitude of, let me try to find a loophole, let me try to find some other way, let me try to flirt with sin, but not actually commit sin. And Jesus is trying to, I think, many times, in this long sermon that he has, is pointing out this attitude and saying, this is not the way to live the Christian life. You can't go around and try to find a loophole every time there's something that you don't agree with. Because a lot of people, I think, in this time period were saying, well, as long as I don't commit the physical act of idolatry, I'll be okay. But Jesus kind of points out, no, adultery goes deeper than that. If you're actually lusting for a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. But perhaps people are trying to use that as a loophole of saying, well, as long as I don't commit the physical act, as long as I don't actually take another person and commit those physical acts, then I'm okay. And Jesus goes, no, 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 no. The mental mindset is important as well, that we are not looking for ways out of living the Christian life, not looking at ways to justify our sins and the life that we're living. But many times Jesus points this out. He points it out in respect to murder. Yes, murder is wrong, but Jesus points out hating your neighbor. You hate your neighbor. Well, I don't murder anyone, so I'm okay. Well, do you hate your neighbor? He's going after that mindset, a proactive way of trying to get sin out of their life. And he talks about stealing. And then he talks about the coveting mindset. He talks about idolatry, and then talks about the idea of lust. Jesus was after a proactive approach, one that would fix the mind of these individuals. But what happens is, many times, like the Pharisees, because many people in the religious world today try to handle the Word of God like a legal document. And you know what people try to do with legal documents? They try to find loopholes, don't they? Well, in this clause, on this day, in this situation, you could actually do that. And a lot of times people will spend a lot of time, hire a lot of individuals to look through a contract just so they can find the loophole, just so they can find some other way around the big issue that's in the room. A lot of times people handle the Bible like a legal document. A lot of times people handle the Bible like an uninspired document. And all the time while they're reading, what are they trying to do? Trying to find some other way. Sometimes people dedicate so much time and effort into finding any other way than the way that Jesus lays out, plain and simple. You think about salvation, you think about worship, you start thinking about all these areas of Christianity and all the ways that people have taken God's Word and say, you know what, I think there's a way around that. I think there's a way around that worship thing. I think there's a way around this hell thing. I think there's a way around all these areas of Christianity. I think I can find a loophole. I think I can find some way around. And they take so much time and dedication to that. That I think many times they lose their soul. They're taking so much time trying to find some other way, trying to find some loophole. Do you really think you're going to find a loophole when it comes to the Word of God? Do you really think that you're going to find some other way when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you really think that there's some other way? The Bible says there's salvation in no other name. But people are trying to find that other name, aren't they? They're trying to sneak in name some other way. They'll say, well, I'll try to use Muhammad. I'll try to use Buddha. I'll try anything else but trying to go directly to Jesus Christ. Any other way. Any other way to twist Jesus' words. Any way to twist Jesus' teachings. Any way I can find a loophole. Unfortunately, I don't think the Bible teaches us that it's a legal document. I think the Bible teaches us that it's living and it's powerful and it gives us so many characteristics of God's Word where it basically is telling us there is no loophole. There is no other way. But people again and again in our society are making these things that they think are loopholes where they can get around certain obligations and responsibilities in their life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we start to get a picture of God's Word. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And somehow people are going around and saying, you know what, I can find a problem with the document. I can find a loophole on salvation. I can find a loophole on worship. I can find some other way to be saved. You know, we're talking about the Word of God. The Word of God that was once delivered to all the saints. Jude 1, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. The document that was delivered once and for all time to the saints, no, we can find loopholes around that. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it tells us the Bible gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But then we start to look, and the world doesn't really believe the Bible is what it says it is. A lot of times the world doesn't believe that it's inspired. A lot of times people don't believe the Bible gives us everything that can equip us for every good work. People don't believe that the Bible was once delivered, once and for all time. People don't believe that the Bible gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And what they do from that is they slowly but surely try to find the holes. They try to find the weaknesses. They try to find a way around God's Word to fit their life the way they would like it. Just think about the religious world today and all the loopholes and all the ways people try to make ways to get around God's Word. Think about attendance for a second. Think of all the loopholes and all the ways and all the arguments people try to bring up when it comes to church attendance. Well, the Bible doesn't mention Wednesday, does it? Well, Wednesday, it must not be important because the Bible, all the loopholes that people try to twist and make in their mind to try to get around God's Word, to try to find a loophole in God's Word, they're trying to find some other way. You think about worship and all the ways that worship has been diluted and torn down and ripped apart. Oh, well, it doesn't say not to do this or that, trying to justify their loopholes any way they can, try to justify why they try to go around Scripture instead of trying to accept the Scripture that was given by inspiration of God, the Scripture that has equipped us for every good work, the Scripture that was delivered once and for all time to the saints, the Scripture that pertains to all things of life and godliness. Let's try to find a way around that, and people do. Day after day, people are trying to find these loopholes. Day after day, people are trying to find some other way. What I'd like to look at this evening is just a few times where I think people were trying to find some other way, and it was deadly. Spiritually deadly, and many times physically deadly, is when we start trying to seek loopholes in God's Word. When we try to seek some other way around God's Word, it never works out quite the way that people planned it. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. I think we find in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, a couple individuals that are trying to find loopholes, trying to find some other way. Some other way to do what? I think these individuals are trying to find some other way to worship God. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, and put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Two very short verses. And we think about all the backstory that had to lead up to this, and we don't want to necessarily add to God's word, but you almost have to think that Nadab and Abihu had to have a conversation before this happened. They had to have a conversation before they were about to offer this strange fire before the Lord. God had commanded them what to do. These individuals should have known of what they should be doing, but I just wonder what that conversation was leading up to before they changed what God had asked them to do. Before they did something that God had not commanded, I wonder what that conversation was. Hey, let's try something new. Let's do something. Yeah, I mean, God did not say not to do this. I mean, all those things that people throw at us all the time, all the dialogue that many times people say and try to use against individuals that are trying to follow God's word. Well, you know, what if we just do it one time? Well, what if it helps somehow to improve the service in some form or fashion? I just imagine all the conversation that Nadab and Abihu might have had before they decided to make a change. Before they said, you know what, let's go some other way. We know that it's been done this way for a long time. We know what's said in the Bible, but you know what, let's try some other way this one time. They thought they found a loophole. And how did it end for them? They were devoured by the fire of the Lord. It says in verse 2, it says, so the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Do you really think they're going to find a loophole in God's word? Do you really think you're going to find some other way than what God has told us to do? But people try to do it every day. And it's interesting when you point people sometimes that hold such beliefs to a passage such as this, it's interesting to hear their response. It's interesting to hear how many times, not all the time, but many times they'll say, yeah, Nadab and Abihu, they slipped up. But they won't see in their own lives them trying to go around God's word, trying to go around the teachings of Jesus, trying to find what they want to find. They spend so much time and dedication trying to justify their loophole, justifying getting around the words of God. When these individuals, Nadab and Abihu, tried to find some other way, how did it work out for them? I think most of us would objectively say it didn't work out too well. Let's look at another individual, Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, I think we would all agree it's important to obey the commands of God. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, God commands this, you should do this. But a lot of times, when God commands certain things in the Bible, it's interesting how people try to run the other way. Well, I know God said this, but I don't want to do it. In Exodus chapter 20, we find Moses. And you can actually read all the situation leading up to this. And Moses, you think about Moses' resume up to this point. He's been quite impressive in the service to God. He has went back to Egypt. He's got the Israelites out of Egypt with the help of God and the plagues. They crossed the Red Sea. They got to the edge of the Promised Land. And Moses is there, and they send in the spies, and the spies come out. And of course, he basically has the majority of Israel reject the idea of going into the Promised Land. So God says, okay, you're going to go out to the wilderness for 40 years. And that's where we're catching up with them in Exodus chapter 20. They're out in the wilderness, and they need some water. And in Exodus chapter 20, verses 7 through 12, we see a situation that Moses gets into. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give them drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land which I have given them. God gives Moses some basic instructions here. And God says, because you did not believe me, but we have instructions, very basic instructions given to Moses. In verse 8, he tells him to speak to the rock. basic instructions, instructions that an individual could understand, instructions that an individual could certainly follow through with. But as we see, Moses and Aaron gather the congregation. He decides, for whatever reason, to not speak to the rock, as we see in verse 8. But in verse 11, he decides to strike the rock. Now the water still comes out, but he's going to receive a punishment for not following directions, essentially. Says, because you did not believe to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land which I had given them. Now you think what a statement this would have been probably to Moses. We don't necessarily get the whole reaction of Moses. We get certain things that the Bible reveals to us. But you think of what a long journey Moses has been on. He has went back to Egypt. He has got the children of Israel out of Egypt with the help of God and the plague. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've got to the edge of the Promised Land. They let the spies in that most of Israel rejects. They're out in the wilderness. He has been on a long, long, long journey trying to lead these individuals to the Promised Land. And here, at Kadesh, instead of speaking to the rock, he strikes the rock twice. And you know what God says? He says, you're not going to take the Israelites into the Promised Land. And actually, we see that as the Old Testament unfolds. He gets there to the edge. He gets to Mount Nebo, and the Israelites are assembled there, and he dies before he enters the Promised Land. And when that occurrence happens, God actually references this incident on why he is not going to enter the Promised Land. You know, I think we see a basic idea here that sometimes that is lost in you know, people's eyes, many times in our own eyes, as we lose perspective. But I think of Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? There's so many things that the Bible instructs, and so many things in the Bible that I believe are cut and dry, black and white, and people will see exactly what God has to say, and they say, you know what, I know God is commanding to do this, but I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to find some other way to get this done. I'm going to find some other way. Surely there's got to be some other way. Surely there has to be a loophole. And what I'm saying is when you start looking for loopholes, when you start looking for some other ways in respect to God's Word, it can certainly end horribly. You think of just what a little difference it was, and many times that's how they justify their other ways. It's just a little different, isn't it? We're not that much different from the Lord's church. It's just a little change here, a little change here, it's a little change here. It's not a big deal. It's just small things in the grand scheme of life, isn't it? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things that I say? Or perhaps you think of James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Many times when people are going throughout their lives, it's like people are hearing the word of God, but to go to that next step of doing is just far too much. Because that's going to take a commitment. That's going to take too much. That's going to take too much of a sacrifice. So what people do is they say, you know what, I'm going to find some other way. And they think their other way is easier. They think their other way is smarter. They think their other way is better. But in reality, there is no other way. But people are constantly trying to find it. You think of salvation. In Acts chapter 15, there's a problem that we see break out. There's individuals running around, and they think that they have a way in which individuals can be saved. And we see that in Acts chapter 15, and verse 1. These individuals are going around saying, hey, we know how individuals can be saved. It says, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. You've got to be circumcised to be saved. Now this causes a whole uproar in the New Testament church, and they want to make sure that they have an answer to this issue, and they send out a decree. In the next, by the end of the chapter, verse 24, it says, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such command. A lot of times in the religious world, people are running around and saying things that God did not say. And we have to be on watch for that, just like these individuals were. It's amazing all the ways people can say that you can be saved today, but the question is, can you find it in the Bible? I talk about my grandmother a lot. She certainly had a big impact on my life. But one of the things that she wrote in her paper, why she was a member of the New Testament church, why she was a member of the Church of Christ was, she says, the gospel plan of salvation. She says, what I did in the Methodist church, she said I couldn't find the Bible. She said, I was sincere. She writes in her paper. She said, I was sincere. I wanted to become a Christian. She said, I came down the aisle. I was at the mourner's bench. And then she said, as I studied on and on, you know what I found? There was no mourner's bench in the Bible. There was none. Are we trying to find things in the Bible that aren't there? So many people in the denominational world, so many of our friends, our family, those that are around us, are trying to find things that simply aren't there. They're trying to find some other way. They're trying to find some other way, some way to get around Jesus. And of course, they will never frame it in their minds in that light. They'll never say, I'm trying to get around Jesus, but you're avoiding His Word. You're avoiding what He said. In fact, many times what you do is you add to His Word, and we find things being taught that you will never find in this book. It's one of the most amazing things. You know, I bring that up a lot of times when I'm talking to denominational folks and we're trying to talk about the church of the Bible. And you just simply say, can you find your church in the Bible? Seems like a simple question. One that would maybe cut some hearts. And from time to time, I've had individuals' hearts been cut just in that statement alone. Can you find your church in the Bible? And when they start to search and they say, you know what? The church that I attend is not even in the Bible. It's not even mentioned by Jesus. It's not mentioned by God. It's not in the text. There is no such command for many things taught in the religious world today. Slowly but surely, an attitude has developed. An attitude has developed in the United States. An attitude developed in many forms and many fashions, but in many cases in the religious world today, I feel like it's gotten to a point where people actually know a lot of times what the right thing is to do, but it's become acceptable not to do it. Well, you know what? I agree with you, Kyle. I think that there should only be one church. I agree with you on this, or I agree with you that. But they agree, but they won't take the action needed. Perhaps that's what James was trying to get at in James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. How many people do we have going around the religious world saying, I know what to do is right. I know that it's a biblical idea. I know that's written in Scripture. But you know what? I know it's good. I know it's what God says, but I'm not going to do it. The battle that we're in relation to sin is challenging enough. But you know what makes the battle with sin more challenging? Is when people get into the mindset of, I know what to do, but I'm not going to do it. I know what's right. I know what the Bible says, but I'm not going to do it. That certainly makes the battle of sin a lot harder when people say, I'm not going to be convicted by the words of Jesus Christ anymore. I'm not going to be convicted by the words of the Bible. Even though I know the Bible says it, I'm not going to do it. A lot of times people aren't that blatant. But how more challenging the battle with sin gets when people's internal dialogue goes, you know what, I know what I should be doing, but I'm not going to do it. A lot of times people get into that mindset when they're about to become a Christian. They get to that point where they're close to becoming a Christian. They know what they should be doing, but time after time they say no. I know I should become a Christian tonight, but I'm not going to do it. I know I should do this or this to get my life right, but I'm not going to do it. And slowly but surely, we know what to do, but we simply don't do it. The Bible tells us that we're in this battle with sin. In Ephesians chapter 6, we have this picture of a battleground. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it tells us to put on the armor of God. The battle with sin becomes so much more challenging when we try to find another way, when we try to find loopholes in God's Word. I think Jesus, He really wants us to not only follow Him, but lose the attitude of trying to find loopholes and trying to find ways around what He is saying simply and clearly. You know, you think about church attendance. Are you looking for some loophole? Are you looking for a loophole? Are you looking for some other way? When it comes to salvation, are you looking for a loophole? Are you looking for some other way? When it comes to our Christian life and our Christian conduct, are you looking for some other way? Are you looking for some loophole? Quit looking. Quit seeking the loophole. We have the inspired Word of God. He has laid it before us. We're equipped for every good work. It has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we need to handle it as such, a tool to direct our lives, not something where we should be seeking every loophole and every way around it. It seems like in our society today, no one's sinning. See, that's people trying to find some way around God's Word, people trying to find loopholes. People say it all kinds of different ways, don't they, today? They won't say sin. They'll say, you know what? You made a mistake. They say, you know, you didn't sin, it was just an accident. You know, you didn't sin, it was just not intentional. You know, it wasn't sin, it was just a mental lapse. And probably the one we hear mostly in our media today is, you know what, it's not sin, it was just, they had mental problems. Now, there are individuals that truly have mental problems, but how that has snuck into our media and now has become the justification for all sin. If anyone ever does something evil now, it's a mental problem. Well, it's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem of sin, but no one wants to say that anymore, so we just got to say, well, that was a mental problem. Well, that was a mental problem. Well, that was a mental problem. When is it not a mental problem and the individual made a choice to do something evil? They decide to sin. Our society is slowly but surely taking the way around Jesus, taking this loophole mentality, and what they try to do is run away from the truth. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? The truth is not politically correct anymore. On Judgment Day, I want it to be filled with individuals saying about me and my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, "I'm thankful that you are the light in a world that was so dark. I'm thankful that you would tell me the truth when no one else would. I'm thankful that you told me there was sin in the world. I'm thankful that you told me that I was trying to find some other way. I'm thankful that you told me that I was trying to seek loopholes." Because when that Judgment Day comes, and it will, because our God does not lie, it is not going to be pretty for those that are trying to find some other way. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "In flaming fire, it says, in vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." People are trying to find an easier way. People are trying to find a way. Unfortunately, it's the wrong way. Sometimes it's a way that feels right to them. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." When you start seeking loopholes, when you start trying to seek some other way, it never works out. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Are you trying to find a loophole? Are you trying to find some way around the very simple teaching of the Bible? The Christian life is not a life looking for loopholes. It's not a life looking for some other way. It's a life of following the narrow way and following the Word of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can. If you please come as we stand and as we sing.